Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Logan, I feel like I got the energy right for our intro music that if you're watching live, you can't hear it. But I feel like I came in with the right amount of energy. What do you think?
I feel like, yeah, I mean, it like you just took like two big hits off of a crack pipe. You
were it felt good though, right?
Yeah,
didn't it? Yeah, it had a nice, I mean, all of that pro activity that we just had where it sounded great. I mean, we've screwed it up already, but I feel pretty strong about that.
Well, I'm happy. I'm glad that, you know, brought a smile to your day, Rob.
Yeah.
I could really give two craps right now.
No, we're happy to have you, Happy to have me back. I wasn't here last year. How did the show go last week?
It was good. I do have to say, though, and I already told you this, is most people don't get to see behind Cigar Chat behind the scenes. And I will give Rob credit. Like, Rob handles, you know, pretty much the lion's share of the guest booking, although I offer to help. But he handles a lot of logistical stuff, setting up the giveaways and, you know, making sure people have headsets and all this good stuff. And I kind of took that for granted last week. And we had some technical difficulties. And it kind of made me wish that I can't believe I'm saying this, but kind of made me wish Rob was around.
Wow. I know. I'm befuddled. I don't even know what to do with that.
I know.
Go Rob. And compliment man.
No, well, this is not a go Rob zone. Like,
no,
we never say go
about
Rob.
It. This is good.
This is not a go
good.
Rob.
Like, I feel.
But anyways, yeah, it was nice. Taller. It was nice to have you. I'm glad to be back in the country and back home, even though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, glad to be back. We've got the boys from Fable Cigars here, Sean and Matul. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us and spending some time.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Rob.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Absolutely. Now, Sean, you are where?
New York.
You're in New York. I'm going to be in New York in like 2 weeks.
Excellent. Let's have some beers.
Absolutely. We were talking about
like where in New York.
Oh, yeah.
That could mean a lot of different things.
New York is really, it's
not just a city. It's a state, my friend.
It's funny. That's like when people, I get emails every now and again, especially from cigar guys that are from like Florida or whatever. They'll say, hey, I'm going to be in California. We should hang out. I'm like, okay, well, where are you going to be? I'm going to be in L.A. Like, well, that's only a four or five-hour drive away from me. the wife and I are going to be, we're staying in Brooklyn. We're going. There's a wedding in Brooklyn, but I think we're going to be pretty much everywhere.
Cool. I'm in Queens, but I can get in.
Awesome. That's great. And Matul, where are you at?
I'm in Westchester right now, which is in New York as well.
Okay. Yeah, New York is big, huh?
And yeah, pretty much.
Queens. Queens is where. That's where the Mets are, right?
Five boroughs.
Home of the Mets.
The Mets. Okay. Yeah, the Mets are in Queens. Watch. Yeah. They were fun to watch last year.
Yeah, they were.
That man, you guys got some really good young pitching. We could talk baseball and beer.
Can we not talk about this? Like, two things I know nothing about.
Please. Yeah, I don't. I'm not a big fan of baseball, Rob.
Oh man, I'm on my own. Okay.
Yes.
I'm a man on an island.
Neither am I.
Okay, so we've covered Fable Cigars. Your first release is called the Fourth Prime, and we'll get into that.
Why is it the Fourth Prime?
That's why I said we'll get into that. But let's get into it now. Who wants to take that question?
Because I'm not like a Mac anything, but I actually tried to Google what is the Fourth Prime, and I don't know. I didn't really understand it. So explain.
You want me to take this one?
Go for it, Sean.
Yeah, so we were mulling around a bunch of ideas back in 2 years ago when we first started the brand, and we love story, and that's what we wanted to center our brand around. And I'm getting to where that leads to Fourth Prime in a minute here. I just want to provide some background context. Fourth Prime is the fourth prime number, which is the number 7. And how we arrived to that is we thought, what stories prevail throughout history? And we thought about it for a while, and we arrived at human accomplishments and what prevails throughout history. And actually, the number 7 is pretty prevalent.
Yeah, 7 wonders of the ancient world.
Yeah, 7 wonders, 7 musical notes, you name it. There's a lot of significance. It's in religion, it's in history, it's in pop culture.
7 plagues, right? Yeah.
So that, That's what we went with, and we named all of our Vitolas after things that have to do with the fourth prime number.
Okay. And how many people actually get this off the spot of actually knowing what you guys were going for?
Very few, but that's part of the journey.
There you go. I like it.
No, it's a good intro. I mean, that's there you go. You got a conversation piece right off the bat.
And I have another question I have to ask before I forget. You guys, at least, I mean, I don't know if you're coming out with your next production run is going to have bands, but at least the samples that I received had no bands. And I throw back to my boy, Skip Martin. He tried to buck the industry trend and go without bands for about 2.5 years, and he tried. And I actually have an unmated Aquitaine right here. It's one of the best cigars he ever made. But are you guys, why no bands? Was this Skip's influence? Was this just you guys wanted to save the 1 cent? Was it a cost-cutting measure? Like, what was the reason?
So the idea for the no bands was basically we made a four-pack sampler, which was pretty much looked like this. And that came with two stickers with our Fable cigar logo on it, the fourth prime logo on it. So we pretty much said, okay, we want to see what the market is like for this type of cigar. And that can really help me and Sean judge as to how many cigars we want to bring in for the first year. So what we did was, we had a lot of influence from Skip. Skip said, you know, this is how I started my brand. I did a 5-pack sampler of the Cro-Magnon. So we decided to take our first 4 sizes and put them in a 4-pack sampler and just do pre-orders through my retail outlets in New York and New Jersey. So we were going to do about 500 of them. It took us about a month and a half to sell out of those 500. I was able to get another like 150 or 200 more from Skip. So we got a total of about 700 packs. So really, it was just, we definitely wanted to do the bands and the boxes and everything. We were definitely going to go down that route when it came to full production. But in the initial run, we wanted to make sure that, you know, the no bands was just an idea to, you know, kind of get the cigars out to everybody and see what the actual, see if everybody likes them or not, you know, and see how, see what the actual, the popularity of it is before we decide how many to actually order for full production.
You made one fatal mistake taking any advice from Skip Martin whatsoever. That was a fatal mistake. No, I'm just kidding. So it makes total sense. So basically 3,200 cigars approximately. And then now you're coming out with a more traditional B&M release. And I look at your website. Those do have bands. And those will be boxed, banned, like a normal cigar. Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm done. I'll see you guys later.
you're going out on a high note. Speaking of questions, we're trying something new this week.
We are.
So to get your questions in, Logan, do you want to tell everybody how to do it?
Yeah, I would love to do that, Rob, because I'm kind of a tech guy and I like fun stuff. And Rob and I have an internal debate going on, is that if you want to ask a question tonight, all you got to do is text the word cigar chat, one word, to 855-724-0200. And you'll be prompted to ask your question, and it'll ask your first name. Just respond to that, and it'll come to Rob and I, and we can ask your question live. So please, please, please text your question so we can prove that I am right about my theory, my hypothesis about texting in questions.
And if there's any questions, who's smarter and who's sexier looking is?
It's definitely me.
I mean, so don't ask those questions.
It's definitely me. I mean, I'm the eye candy right here.
Maybe getting cut off all the time because of your crappy connection, it's the joke is lost.
I know, and it kind of hurt, so I filled it in.
Yeah, I didn't hear the punchline. I'm just going to move forward and pretend it wasn't awkward. the internet, it's imperfect, unfortunately. So we'll deal with it as best we can. I actually posted my review of the fourth prime back on February 1st. And there's some beautiful photos in there if you want to go ahead and take a look.
Very good photos.
Very kind.
I really enjoyed the cigar. I enjoyed it a lot. And I ran into some issues in that final third. So I ended up giving it an 88, which in our scoring system is a 5-pack purchase. But I feel, and I even put a note in there that with some, I feel like it has some good growth potential with that cigar that I had. It felt like, and I talked to Matul about this a little bit after we did the review. If it had just a little bit more rest on it, just a little bit, you know, a few more months, I think it would have been beautiful all the way through, and then bumps up into like a box split range for me in the low 90s. So, as it's not your typical Nica Sueño cigar.
It's dirty.
It's got some interesting notes to it, and I know that was one thing you guys didn't want to come out with, just kind of a, you know, a cookie cutter remake of things that Skip has done. It looks to me, it looks a lot like a Nica Sueño cigar, but it doesn't taste like one.
Right, but I mean, I gotta ask, is that, I mean, I've been down to Skip's factory, and I mean, the wrapper, Pennsylvania broadleaf, Ecuadorian Habano Ligero binder, probably from Oliva, and then I know a lot of the fillers that Skip's use. I mean, how much are you leveraging Nica Sueño's tobacco buying power in your cigar versus stuff that you went out and procured yourself just for this blend?
It's a hard-hitting question.
So the way that we approached it was we sat down with Skip, and Skip pretty much gave us all the tobaccos that he has in his factory to work with. And me and Sean just started trying all the different tobaccos. So we really didn't approach it as, okay, so where is this tobacco from? Where do we have to procure it from? We kind of just went and said, okay, we're learning this from scratch to, you know, to learn the actual process of blending, and decided, okay, so which tobaccos he had, we started, you know, smoking all the different tobaccos and just kind of built on one of the, like, you know, built different blends based on the different tobaccos that we liked from his factory. We did go to different factories in Nicaragua to pick up tobaccos from other factories, but when we had them on the table, there was no depiction that this tobacco is from this factory, this tobacco is from this factory. It was just all there, and we just started kind of like a chef just deciding which ingredients we like to make up a good blend.
Yeah, and you know, the direct way to say it is that the tobacco is purchased by Skip. It's part of the allotment he uses for various blends of his. So we're just lucky that we had Matul here come up with a blend that really, really worked. And when he brought it home after two trips of trying to come up with a blend and using 20 attempts, even more, I think, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And he comes back, and I smoke this one, and I'm like, yeah, this is it, man. This is really good. You want a little glimpse into Skip's teaching process for a minute?
Absolutely. Logan might not, but I think everybody else does.
If it's the blending thing, I think, are you talking about where he lays all the blends out on the table and you have to smoke a period of everything? Is that what you're going to say?
Even before that, what's funny is that we sit down and he says, okay, close your eyes. And we're like, I don't know if I trust you. But,
yeah, you don't know.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. So
you close your eyes, and he places four jars in front of you. And he says, okay, feel the jars. He says, okay, there's nuts in each jar, different kinds of nuts. And he says, okay, try the nuts from the first jar. We do it.
Not the nuts that everyone else has. Not the nuts that everyone else is thinking about.
Not like Baby Maker nuts. We're talking like almonds.
It's a family show.
Right. So you taste the almonds, you taste the pistachios or whatever, four different kinds of nuts. And he says, what do you think? And you name them all. And your eyes are closed. And you say, yeah, this one's an almond. Or you get one wrong or so. But most of them you get right. He says, why do you think you got them right? He says, well, I know what almonds taste like. He says, exactly. That's blending. The master blenders, they know what all the tobacco tastes like, just like you know what an almond tastes like. So that's how he began the process.
That's interesting. He didn't do that with me. What he did for me was he laid out all, I mean, not all, but majority of the tobaccos they use, and had little Puritos, like 4x42 rolled up. And he's like, I want you to go through and smoke, take notes, understand what each one is. And then he took a Cro-Magnon, and then cut off just a little bit of the wrapper, left the binder exposed, and then he's like, smoke that first bit, and then tell me what I actually used.
Yeah,
and like by, that was tough. I got I know what Skip uses, but yeah, I got a lot of them right, but it was quite interesting. And that's the one part about cigars that's awesome, is that once you kind of see that, the lights will go off in your head, and you're like, wow, it's just like cooking, right? Because everyone knows what tomatoes taste like. Everyone knows what spaghetti noodles taste like, because you're exposed to that every day. But people that don't get to go down to Nicaragua or go to different cigar factories have no idea. And that's exactly what a master blender does. They work with it day in and day out, and they know it. So that's cool about the nuts.
Absolutely. on that note, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with the guys from Fable Cigars today, talking about nuts and Nico Sueño and things of that nature. Logan, we've got to remind people to vote, and this next segment.
Oh yeah, dude. Well, this next segment is brought to us by our good friends at Drew Estate. Drew Estate, get you some. That's what I said.
Well,
so what we need. I know. It's just off the cuff. You know, that's why we don't have to go through the legal people at Swisher. It's a lot easier this way. So Rob brought to my attention, if you're listening, we need a solid. Go to podcastawards.com. And this is where we're basically, we need your help moving on in kind of a final sort of bracket on the best cigar podcast out there. So when you go to the main page, you'll scroll down to, let me see the category. What was the category, Rob?
I believe it's hobbies and
games. Hobbies and games. It's hobbies the fourth one down Oddly on enough. The left-hand side. And all you'll put in is Cigar Federation, and the podcast URL is just cigarfederation.com. And then submit that, and if you do that, I'll love you forever.
I believe that the URL you need to put in...
I just told you.
I believe the one that you told us was incorrect.
Podcast Awards. I'm looking at it right now.
No. For the nomination, URL that you have to put in is podcast.cigarfederation.com. So you go to sorry.
No, I put Cigar Federation.
Well, it's we're making it confusing. Sorry.
No, it's I put in the forum, dog.
I put Cigar Federation. I know, but when they ask for the URL of the podcast, it's podcast.cigarfederation.com.
Bro, just. Trust me for once in your life. It's Cigar Federation.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so now that we've confused everybody, nobody's going to do it. We'll move forward.
I got you, Logan. I got you.
I think that, I don't know, it doesn't matter. For those of you who care, in a stunning turn of events, the Rams took Jared Goff out of UC Berkeley. You see that helmet right up there? With the number one pick in the NFL draft. The second pick hasn't come in yet as far as my phone is concerned, but whatever. We all knew that was going to happen anyway.
How do you feel about them moving to L.A.?
They're the Los Angeles Rams, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's already done. Did I say St. Louis?
No, you said the Rams.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, they're in L.A. I don't know if they've – I don't know where they're going to play, but whatever. Right. They've got a new quarterback.
Well, the Lakers aren't doing much. Maybe they can use their stadium.
What's that?
I said the Lakers aren't doing much. Maybe they can use that.
I think they'll probably play in the – I don't know if they built a stadium. They may have built one. Who knows? I never get down to L.A. Like we talked about with the New York, L.A. is it's its own beast down there, man. So I'm going to jump into some of these audience questions that have been
– we're getting a lot. Thank you for texting people.
Received on the – who are we going to give credit to the text line? Received on the Fable Cigars text line. We'll go with Fable Cigars today. You guys sponsored this episode. Did you know that? This is a question from Jason Myers. He says, what factors led to you deciding to have your fourth prime cigar produced at Nico Sueño? Do you have any plan? And it's a follow-up question, two-part question here. Do you have any future plans of having cigars produced there as well, or is the door open to work with other factories?
So the way that kind of happened was me and Sean knew we wanted to make a brand. We were approaching many different companies to make the brand for us. And it just so happened that I had brought in Roma Craft cigars into my shop about a year or so prior to us wanting to make our own line of cigars. About a year and a half. So the year that we brought Roma Craft in, my shop, Mom Cigar Warehouse in Scarsdale, New York, was the number one retailer for Roma Craft that year. And my four shops collectively was like the best group of shops to carry Roma Craft, bar none, since the company has been...
And what year was this?
You know, out. This was, I think, 2014.
Okay. Got it.
So, I already had a good relationship with Michael Rosales when it came to the retail outlet, and it just so happened that when Mike first came to me to carry Roma Craft, I really didn't know too much about them. So it was really tough for me to carry their line of cigars. So the first time I kind of, you know, said, hey, we can't really carry your cigar, unfortunately, because we really don't have customers that are asking for it, and I don't know too much about you guys. And then that kind of led to, after he left and, you know, like 4 or 5 months go by, we ended up getting, you know, a lot of people coming to us asking about Intemperance, asking about Cro-Magnon. And then I had a friend of mine in the shop bring me a Cro-Magnon, and he's like, yo, Matul, you got to smoke this cigar. It's off the hook. So I did, and it really was off the hook. At first, I kind of, you know, didn't really think about it, and for me, the cigar was just phenomenal. So I went on halfwheel.com, and I searched, you know, Roma Craft, and whenever I really like a cigar and I want to bring it into my shops, I want to do the research behind it, and it turns out I put the two and two together, and I'm like, oh, hey, this is the guy I kind of, you know, said no to in the beginning. And then... you know, instead of calling him and you know, talking to him over the phone, I decided to go to the show at the IPCPR convention that year in Vegas and go directly to his booth the first day. The second I got into the convention, I went with my partner from my shop, and I sat down with Mike and I said, hey, I would love to open up four accounts with you for my four shops, carry your brand. Are you willing to do that? You know, and he's like, yeah, absolutely. But what changed? And I'm like, well, in the beginning, I didn't know too much about you guys, you know, and it wouldn't have been equally beneficial to both of us to, you know, carry something that, you know, it's hard for me to sell because I don't stand behind it. But now I want to. So can we open up your account? So we did. And then that kind of, you know, that kind of led to our relationship with them. And me and Sean were on the side talking about doing our brand. And one day, just so happened, Sean was here. You know, and we were discussing who to get the cigars made with, and Mike was here to introduce us to from Mombacho, because they were doing the distributions from Mombacho at the time. And I was kind of, you know, having three different conversations. I was, you know, talking to Matt from Mombacho to learn about their company, and I was talking to Mike and on the side I was talking to Sean about, you know, our brand, and Mike, how they did it, how they got into the industry, and how they kind of, you know, paved their way. And he's like, why don't we, you know, work together? You guys, you know, do really well with us. You know, we like your work ethic. And, you know, I think that we can, you know, we can make your cigar for you. And at first I was like, you know, hey, I mean, I would love for you guys to make your cigars, make our cigars for us. But I just felt that you guys were too small to do that. But you know, I'd be gung ho to, you know, if you guys can even, you know, like talk about something like that with us. So then he's like, why don't you guys go to Nicaragua, meet Skip, and sit down and then discuss it. And Skip's the ultimate, you know, decision. If he wants to make the cigars with you, he has to be the one that's going to work with you hand in hand to do that. I kid you not, like the first day we met Skip, me and Sean fell in love with Skip. Everything he had to teach us. All the advice he had for us, and it wasn't really like there was no question about it. Like, these guys are gonna make us a great cigar. Not only are they gonna make us a great cigar, but they're gonna help us grow and educate us about the actual process of making cigars, which is what we wanted. We didn't want to just go to someone and be like, hey, here's a cigar we really like, can you make something like it? We wanted to sit down and really learn the process of making cigars. And that's why we went. That's why we chose them. But in reality, they chose us.
So, like a love hate relationship, or yeah. Like what?
Sean wants to chime in.
No love hate relationship. Just a love relationship.
You know, I'll tell you my most memorable moment from that trip. We got in a car with him, and he took us on a long drive to a coffee plantation, which is a beautiful experience, by the way. I recommend it to anybody.
Is this Colin Gaines' place?
Yes.
Yeah.
Twin Engine?
Yeah.
Twin Engine Coffee. Yep.
Beautiful place. You have vista views of the entire country, basically, because you're so high up. And, you know, the coffee's pretty good, too. We're on the road, and Skip has given us a crash course of what it's like in the industry. And okay. if you're someone who's not committed to the process, it's a way for him to talk you out of it. And the entire time, for about an hour, he's telling us what it takes. And, you know, that's the moment when he either sees that you're excited about it or you're not. And for us, it was that moment, and we were. And that kind of... moved us forward with them. So I'm thankful for the lecture, to be honest with you, because before then I had zero idea of what it was going to be like. But I'm grateful for what he taught us, and it helped us move forward and create the blend, and the rest is now developing.
So how involved were you guys with the blending process?
Oh, it's all it's all direct involvement. He taught us the process, but We blended the tobacco, and eventually on the second trip, which Mitul took alone, he struck gold with what you're smoking right now, hopefully. Mitul hit the mark there. It's his blend, and
basically the way the blending went was exactly the way that Logan explained it. He put all these tobaccos in front of you. He gave you the puritos of each one. We did the whole gambit of, you know, first smell each tobacco leaf, you know, feel the tobacco leaf, you know, burn the tobacco leaf, smell the actual aroma, and we did that with every single tobacco he had, and then blend your cigar without a binder or without a wrapper on it, just fillers, and come up with a blend that you like, and then we'll put, you know, and then do that same process with binder leaf, and do that same process with wrapper leaf separate, and then we'll put them together, and then we'll see where it goes from there. So pretty much we did that process through and through with all the blends. We blended the fillers first, then put the binder on it and wrapper on it after we liked the filler. And then only after we put the fillers together was smoked it. So they did not smoke. They didn't, you know, like sit there and blend the cigars with us. I mean, they did kind of, but they, you know, we blended the cigar and then said, okay, so here's blend number one, blend number two, blend number three, blend number four, you know, and then we all sat down and made three of each or whatever, or four of each, and me and Sean and Esteban and Skip would smoke each one and write our notes on it and then compare notes. And say, okay, which one out of all four of us did we like the most? And like then we slowly built on that and went forward with that.
It was like American Idol with Esteban and Skip as the judges.
It's true. I mean, they don't do anything for you. I mean, that's a testament to Skip. I mean, they don't just throw a cigar to you and say, take it, gringo.
Yeah.
They're gringos themselves. They make you work for it.
Yeah, from what I've heard, there's a lot of companies that will do that. You know, you go down there.
And I just want to add.
No, go ahead.
No, I just want to add that the one thing for me that I liked about Skip being a businessman, being businesses, was that as many times as me and Sean told him that we wanted to, you know, go forward with this venture, there were, for every one time that we told him we want to go forward with the venture, there was at least 10 times where he was like, are you sure? Do you really want to do this? Do you really want to create your own company? You guys are successful in business. Are you sure you want to do that? So it wasn't just like, hey, let's do this. You know, I want to make money. Not easy. It's really difficult. Even once you have your blend, you know, like even if you have a great cigar, it's not easy to get into people's shops and win over and get on shelves. So it wasn't just all like, you know, dreams and, oh, we're going there and we're in this, like, you know, cloud nine. We're going to make our own cigar and be successful because we're making it with Rome. He told us many times that, hey, you know, this is what you want to do and where you want to invest your money, which is great, and you want to, you know, put your time and effort into it. Are you sure you want to do that? And that solidified my relationship, saying that, hey, here's a businessman who can make money off of us, but it's not really about the money for him. It's about making sure that in doing so, in helping us, we're also successful as much as he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I get that feeling. I don't know Skip Logan the way that you do, or Sean and Matul the way you guys do. I've met Skip a few times. We've had him on the show a few times. We should have him on again. It's been a while. But he strikes me as the kind of guy that, you know, now that his company is, he's in a position to do things like this, you know, make cigars for, you know, somebody who wants to start a new line. I don't feel like he's the kind of guy who's just going to say, yeah, sure, you know, here's, you know, it's $20,000 or whatever for X amount of cigars and take the money. And yeah, you guys can kind of run with it, do whatever you want. It's a little bit more about the passion for it, but which is just kind of an easy thing to say, but it's also a bit more, reputation is an important thing for Skip. I get that feeling. Yeah. And he's not going to go out and produce a cigar for somebody who's just going to do a kind of a cash grab, try to take advantage of it and disappear. I mean, he wants to work with people who want to be involved in the industry. Yeah. And you guys have really kind of reaffirmed that for me. So I have a lot of respect for Skip, the way that he started his company and for you guys to be able to come into this industry with a name like Nick Asueño tied to your cigar, that's a lot of extra swag for you guys coming right in the door. So it works both ways, and it's good to see.
It's mad swag.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That might be the first time I've ever said swag on our show, Logan.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
On that note, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for everyone tuning in out there in the world today. Hope everybody is staying safe and can sit down and enjoy a cigar with us today. Although I'm not smoking a cigar, everybody else is, and they're enjoying themselves. I'm drinking a beer that I made myself, but I'm not going to go into that.
That's like bathtub gin.
This is legit IPA, dude. Legit. Legit. Sure. It's not the color it's supposed to be, but it tastes pretty good. I'm happy with it. So let's, Logan, this next segment?
This next segment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. This next segment is brought to you by our good friends, none other than Fable Cigars. They would have been in the Cigar Federation store, but they told me I couldn't carry them, and they broke my heart. So now that leads into my question, Matul, why would you turn me down? Why? Tell me about your retail plan. I'm just giving you crap right now. Tell me about your retail plan. Why are you starting with, I think it's 10 accounts? Why are you guys starting so small? And what are your expectations to grow, like IPCPR, et cetera?
I'll let Sean handle that end of it.
Boom. Sean, jump in.
Sure, yeah. So
you can just tell me yeah, because, I mean, people always ask me to carry their stuff, and I very rarely ask to carry people's stuff, and I reached out, and it broke my heart. I'm not going to lie.
I'm sorry you broke your heart, Logan. I'm sorry.
You seriously kind of damaged my swag a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
There it is, swag again in the same show. Okay. That's twice.
I know. I did it on purpose. Go ahead. No, tell me. I'm not trying to make it about me. Maybe I want to hear
it. Make it up to you in the future, but We have a very cautious approach because we're new to this, and we, you know, for the lack of better words, we shopped around and we took advice from Skip, and we took advice from other people who are aware of where we want to be, what kind of position we want to be in across the country, and you know, it wasn't anything against you, Logan. It's just a matter of positioning us in. Quality accounts that Skip himself has experience in and has sold a lot of his product in, because we want to be where Roma is. It's a strategic move, and we're opening up these few accounts initially, and we hope to increase that presence at the trade show. But what it comes down to is stock, right? We have an allotment for 2016, which we hope to grow from next year, but. Our limits are our limits, and we want to keep it small, see how we do, and expand from there. It's a smart way to grow, I think, and we hope to increase that presence in the future. But all it is a purely strategic choice, and where we can allot the inventory we have.
So, Logan, having said that, Sean handles all that end of it, and I'm just
Charles, you're going with the wrong guy. Is what you're saying?
I'm going to tell you. We're going to let you carry our cigars, and then let Sean handle that end of it.
Hey, I like that. One hand playing against the other. I like that.
That's a lie.
That's not going to happen.
We'll see.
So what's your estimated production? I have a feeling
that before too long we'll see it in the store. I have absolutely no involvement on either side, but I'm just giving you my opinion.
I think we'll see it
in there at some point.
So what is your estimated production this year if you're only having 10 accounts?
So estimated production for this year is about 50,000
Okay.
Yeah, and we're hoping to either double or triple that in next year.
Okay.
Wow.
So awesome. You're not taking on accounts at IPCPR. You've got these 10 this year, and then you'll see how it goes.
No, we are taking accounts at the IPCPR.
Yeah, that's pretty much the idea. We're taking into account the actual convention because when we're at the convention, we're going to have a booth shared with Roma Craft. And because we're only making 50,000 cigars this year, we're actually going to open up to start with about 14 to 20 accounts. And when you open up those accounts, one, we have to make sure that we sell not all the that we have, right? We want to sell about half of it so that when we get to the IPCPR, we can open up another 10 accounts or so. And then, you know, gauge from that how much more production we can do next year. Is it can we do 100,000 cigars next year or 200,000 cigars next year? That's pretty much the reasoning behind, you know, because the other thing is like, okay, so for instance, CigarFederation.com, like you guys could probably sell, you know,
a Scheiser ton
of our cigars easily, right?
Easily.
So that's the thing. So you have to understand, I would love to have you guys carry our brand, but then, you know, if we have one person taking, you know, so much product, then our presence, you know, in the different brick and mortars is very low. So our reasoning behind it is that we want to make sure that we're in, you know, quality shops, brick and mortars that have the right kind of, employees that can teach people about our product, and then slowly grow from there, you know, because of the fact that we only have 50,000 cigars being produced this year.
Got it. Okay. I won't ask this online. I'll take it offline because I have a theoretical business question to ask. And I'm going to ask it anyways.
It's the Logan Show. What the hell?
It's the Logan Show. Is that, no, I mean, I'm just curious. I want to hear your thoughts. So, I mean, you just said that, I mean, you have 50,000 cigars, which in the grand scheme is, you know, not that many. I mean, it's a lot to start out with, but I mean, it's not a ton. You guys will sell through that probably really easily. But, you know, you're talking about you don't want to have one account blowing through and, you know, us being, you know, an online retailer, you know, we can get the cigars out to a lot of hands. And but you don't want to do that. So my thought is, I'm just trying to understand, is if you don't want to go with an account that could sell a lot to a lot of different people, because the idea would be to get cigars into many people across the United States as possible. So they're going to their brick and mortars and saying, hey, you need to carry Fourth Prime, right? You know, we need to carry this cigar. This cigar is awesome. But you're not going with a retailer that – I'm not saying the retailers you pick can't do that, but I'm saying I just want to understand your thought process behind that, because it's like you're saying you want to grow, but then – in my mind, you're not necessarily doing the things that would lead you to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So
it does.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
So our strategy is, you know, you bring up a good point, and exposure isn't our primary goal. It's up there, you know. We want to get our name out there, and an online retailer is a good way to do that. But our strategy is based on one of experience. So we want our customers to connect with our product in a physical way, and that's a big part of our plan. And brick and mortar is the best way to do that. You'll get to hear about it from a live person. It's about that face to face experience. That's how we want to connect to our customers. And while you can put up a good summary of it online, that part of it is lacking. And maybe it's a difference of opinion. But that's how we want to approach it.
Got it. No, I mean, no, fair enough. And a lot of the retailers that you pick, like Fine Ash, are really good cigars. I mean, really good cigar shops. So, I mean, you guys have kind of picked the cream of the crop. But, I mean, my experience with with brick and mortars, not these on the list because they're obviously some of the best ones in the nation, but I feel like a lot of that tobacconist experience that you're talking about doesn't really exist when you go into 95% of cigar shops. That's just my opinion.
That's a bold statement.
No, yeah. It's true. No, it's
well, totally true. Then, so I'm going to jump in and say, so I own four cigar shops. I own four cigar shops, and
Logan, you poked the bear, man.
I own four cigar shops in New York, New Jersey area, and I guess I'm that 5%, right? When you come into my shop, it's not about me putting money in the register. It's not about me, you know, making the bottom line. You know, I like in all of my shops, anywhere between 15 to 2,000 square feet, we only have, you know, like 3 to 4 people working for us. But we make sure that everyone that's working for us is trained to understand the tobacco, is a cigar smoker, is, you know, making sure that the customer is getting the right cigar for their experience. They're not just coming in here and saying, hey, well, okay, well, here's a $20 cigar, which is the best cigar in the world. It's not about that. It's about getting them the best cigar in their hand. Like, hence why, you know, Roma Craft is one of our number one accounts right now, is because, like, most of their cigars are $10, less than $10 MSRP. So it's not about... Yeah, so it's not really about, for me, it's not really about getting the customer to buy a $20 cigar. It's about getting the customer to buy a good cigar that I can stand behind and my employees can stand behind and make sure that they keep coming back for something like that. And you have to also understand, like, Roma Craft only has, like, 1 million-some-odd production a year.
Yep.
So their factory is very small. Their factory is, I would say, no more than 2,500 square feet. So... the limitations of them making us, you know, I don't know what Skip's limitations he has to make a cigar. So let's say his limitations is about 200,000 to 300,000 cigars, the max that he can make for Fable, because he has everything else, you know, all of his other resources, tied up with Roma. So if I'm only going to be able to make 200,000 to 300,000 cigars, then maybe I can only open up, you know, 40, 50 retail accounts, no more than that. And if that's the case, then I want to make sure that, you know, me coming from a brick and mortar, I've never sold online. And I, you know, I'm not saying anything against Cigar Federation, but I lose business, you know, online businesses every day. So I wanted to make sure that when we start off, our roots are brick and mortars, and then we can see where we can go from there.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Is that good enough for you, Logan?
Of course I could keep going all day, but I'm
well,
stopping.
You know, I would agree with, actually I'll agree with both sides, because that's, Logan, you can attest, that's kind of my personality.
It very much is.
There's a little bit of both, right? I mean, when I think of cigar shops with that tobacconist, that old timey kind of feel, when you walk in, they know who you are, they know exactly what you want, they take the time to listen to you. I don't know if that's the vast majority.
No.
Or if it's even a 50-50 type situation anymore. I'm in California, so I'm speaking from what the experiences that I've had. Of the shops that I've been to in my area, there are two that really, when you walk in, there's someone there to help you. They'll walk into the humidor with you. They'll talk to you about not just what's new or what's the most expensive, but they want to know, they ask you questions before they talk to you about any cigar. That's right. There's two
That's
shops.
That's awesome.
Two shops in my area of the 8 that do that, that I go to regularly, I should say. Maybe I'm selling some other shops short. So I think, Logan, you make a good point that old-time tobacconist feel, maybe that's a dying breed. I think of that as shops in New York. I think of that as shops in Florida. And I think of that as shops in Texas. Those are the three places that I think of that have those types of tobacconists. In California, it's a bit of a different story. It's going to be easier for me to walk down the street smoking a joint than it is to walk down the street smoking a cigar. So
that's probably true.
I'm going to get less flack. But one thing I will say, and I get nothing about cigars being sold through CigarFederation.com. I'm not affiliated with the store at all. The one thing that's different about that store and our website is there's live interaction. There's always a chat room. There's always people on. There's always people talking. And maybe they'll ask me. Maybe they'll ask Logan. Maybe they'll ask Matt or one of the other mods. But chances are they're really just going to ask each other what they think of this particular cigar. That's one thing that our site brings to the table that I don't think any other cigar website really does in a real-time situation. So anyway, well, I'll just put that out. Sean, it looked like you wanted to say something.
Yeah, if I can expand just a little bit, I won't take up too much time with this, but I'll give you an example. There's a shop, where's that cigar? Is that Indiana, Mitul?
Which one?
Cigar.
It's
Daniel Berry. It's Indiana. It's Daniel Berry.
So these guys in Indiana, you know, they come to us. We talk to them on Facebook a lot. They're so passionate about our brand because they tasted our cigar and they really love it. And the experience we're going for, and I'm not saying this is the right or wrong way to do it or however you want to judge that, is what we're going for. They're fans who are going to talk about it face to face. And we want to build an online presence. We're not blind to its benefits. This is just a starting point that we chose because we like that experience. We come from that experience. And once we start building that online presence, we'll go into that kind of distribution and expand into it and be a part of it. But there's just something about it that's part of the story feel that we're going for, and it appeals to us. And you know, it may be true that the numbers work out better online, but considering the low production start that we're beginning with, we want to concentrate on brick and mortar first because of those reasons. We'll expand further later, hopefully. Love our stuff, which I feel like we will, but that's just where we're coming from.
No, absolutely, and it was actually brought to my attention in the chat room. I left out when I talked about states that had, and this is just from my opinion. I've never been to these states and bought cigars, so I really shouldn't even be speaking on it at all. But one cigar shop that I left out is Outlaw, and I know that they have a really good reputation. I don't know if you guys are available there or not, but someone did point that out, and I'd be remiss to leave them out.
So see that.
Now that we've go ahead, Mitchell. Sorry.
No, I'm saying Outlaw is a great cigar shop, and that's another shop that we can't really give our cigars to because if they even approach us and say, hey, we would love to carry Fable, they're too big for us, right? Mm-hmm. They're too big for us for the small production that we have. The way that Cigar Federation is too big for us because we don't have enough product because like that's another shop that we would be able to sell 10,000 cigars or something like that easily. And, you know, it's really tough for us to say no to someone like that in the beginning, but we have to because, you know, we don't have that kind of production. So that's another shop that we would have to say no to at this stage. But, you know, going forward, hopefully we're at that stage where we can say yes to someone like that.
Absolutely. You guys are in a really nice position where you have, like you said, shops that are too big that want to sell your product. So that's kind of a nice thing that says, you know, once we get through this first wave, we get more capital, we can, you know, we're making more cigars, we're rolling more cigars, we have more product to deal with, then you can go back to those companies. Unless they're like Logan and they get kind of butthurt about it. And, you know, when you call Logan up and say, hey, we want to go through Cigar Federation, he's going to say no. You said no to me, and now I'm going to say no to you.
That's not how I rolled, dog.
He's that kind of guy, man.
No, I'm not spiteful.
No, I'm just kidding. Logan, how much time do we have left? We spent a lot of time on your...
I can look.
I know we've got about 5 or 6 minutes, probably.
Yeah, we do. I'm looking right now.
Okay, oh, yeah, we got eight. Mitul, you were going
to say something. I just wanted to add one more thing. The other thing that Skip kind of taught us, and Skip was like, you guys have to be very careful when it comes to reorders, right? So what that means is, like, let's say we have 20 shops, we open with 20 shops, and those shops are, let's say, carrying our brand. They understand our story. They understand how to, you know, approach a customer with our cigar. And then, let's say out of those 20 shops, let's say 10 shops are killing it, and 10 shops are kind of, not 100%. But what comes to, you know, getting the cigar back to the shop with a reorder and getting it on their shelf, that's the tough part, right? So if we have 10 shops that are gonna reorder and we get it back to them, we want to make sure, me and Sean have sat down and talked in lengths about this, and we want to make sure that our cigar is never back ordered. I know that's like a big thing to say, but having our cigar, you know, back ordered kills our brand because it's not as big as Roma. And it's very small. So, you know, like Roma is that type of company where they're, you know, a lot of their product goes in back order because a lot of their production that they make, every single production it's sold before it's even made.
Right.
So I want to make sure that, you know, if I have a shop that has my cigars and the cigars are sitting there on the shelf and they reorder, I want to make sure that our cigars are, you know, in their shop within the week. So that if a customer couldn't get their cigar that week, the next week they have it. But if it's not there for a month or 2 months, all of a sudden that cigar, you know, it's the cigar, just like our cigar, Fable Cigars, just becomes, you know, they move on and go on to something else. And that's something that we both want to, you know, avoid and make sure that whatever shops carry it, are like when they reorder, at least within a week that we can get that cigar back to them.
Okay. So how does that work with... I mean, Skip's model, I mean, coming from Dell, right? I'm very familiar with the just-in-time model, right? It works really well. So, you're not operating necessarily in the same model that Skip is, where you guys are going to be purchasing more inventory up front and actually having a stock in the U.S. or at a warehouse somewhere. Is that what you're saying, basically?
That's basically what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. Logan, how much time do we have left?
At this stage, when it gets to a certain point, when we're at a little bit of a higher production stage, we can get to that point where, hey, okay, the cigars are doing really good. Everyone who wants them still wants them a month later, even if they can't, if the store can't get them back in, we can change our model then. But at this stage, being at the 50,000 cigars production, we have to be at that kind of like, you know, hey, we have to make sure that the store that wants it, the customer that wants it in their hand, They're at least no more than a week without the cigar in their hand.
Yeah. Fickle industry, man. Everybody wants to know what's new, and if it disappears, I mean, this industry has ADD. It's amazing. Cigar that's been out for 8 months is old. That's exactly. Frightening, like, almost.
Exactly.
It's frightening. So we've had a lot of people ask about the specific names of each Vitola. So what is the meaning behind each of the names of each Vitola? And which Vitolas do you, each of you guys, specifically prefer? I reviewed the Petit Robusto, and I enjoyed that size. I can't remember what size I smoked on our pairing show. It probably was the Toro size. I mean, there was a Toro in there. I think that's what I smoked, was the Toro. But what's the specifics behind the naming of each size and your particular favorite?
Sure, yeah. Matilda, you mind?
Go for it.
All right. Yeah, so we approached it from, we want to take all aspects of culture, you know. The smallest size Busto is called the Doc. And why the Doc? Because he's part of the Seven Dwarves. You know, we want to keep it light. We want to have some humor here. And that smaller size fit the bill. The next one up is the longer Corona. And that's the meat. The me is part of the seven musical notes, pretty straightforward. And after that comes the Mersenne. And the Mersenne is personal to me because my family has a mathematical background, and so do I. And Mersenne is the name of a monk back in 16th century France. And he actually did a lot of groundbreaking research on prime numbers. So. I knew about this, and I was really passionate about adding that name, so that's where that came from. Then the next one up is the biggest size is the Sapta, which is part of Mitul's heritage. It's part of the Indian culture, and it's a religious connotation. It's one of the seven saints. I'm not sure of the particulars of that. Mitul can probably elaborate on that a little more, but it has a cultural significance to him.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, well, Sapta is basically the Sanskrit word for seven, it goes back to like the seven sagas, which is like a story that was very relevant in Indian culture. That's pretty much where it comes from.
Where's your family come from in India?
We come from Gujarat, I was born and raised in Bombay, now called Mumbai.
Mumbai, right. So that's been
every
a long
time I
time
say Bombay, I'm like, wait,
oh, no.
Aren't you from Mumbai?
I spent a lot of time in Madras and Bengaluru and all types of good places.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I was actually just pretty in cool, Bombay at the airport. And it's not the most smoke-friendly airport in the world. Let me just say that. One of the federales came after me and chased me off when I was smoking a cigar. That's a true story.
I would have liked to have seen that.
Dude, it was not good. They told me to stand there, so I'm standing there taking a picture of the picture.
I saw the picture.
I know. It was actually a pretty good photo for once. And then they're like, oh, no. And they had guns and everything. I'm like, whoa, you know. So I had to walk across the street. I got hit. It's just bad.
All right, Logan, we have time for one more question?
Yeah, we got time.
All right, so this might not be the best time to ask this question, but
we got 1 minute, just so you know.
Oh, crap. Okay, give us some, and this is probably more directed towards Sean. Give us some quick goals that you guys have for the upcoming IPCPR.
Well, we want to make our presence known. We want to tell our story. And we want to open up a few more accounts. But essentially, we want to. Until, would you say we want to introduce ourselves to the world?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the way that we want to approach the IPCPR is we want people to know who we are. We want to, be able to talk, because being that me and Sean are in New York, Sean right now works for Apple. So he's busy with his retail job. I have 4 businesses, so I'm busy with that. So a lot of the accounts that we're opening up across the country, we really haven't met anybody face to face. The reason for the IPCPR is one, to meet everybody face to face, and to be able to get, like, right up until now, we've only been able to give our cigar to our customer and say, like a consumer, and say, hey, you know, what do you think? And so that's great, and that's where essentially the cigar is going to go. But we also care about what the retailers think and what the people in the industry think. So we want to be able to hand them a cigar, sit down with them, smoke with them, just talk to them and see what they exactly, think about our cigars and think about us and our story and everything that we talked about on Cigar Federation Today, Cigar Chat. The story behind the concept, the definitions behind the actual names of the cigars. We want to be able to tell that to the people face to face, and that's really what we want to be able to do.
Shake some hands and kiss some babies.
Exactly.
There it is. There it is. Sean and Matul, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're up at the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. As I say all the time, you guys are built to do something that I'm not built to do. So thank you so much for putting your personal safety online to fight for our country and protect our freedoms around the world.
Most definitely.
I hope that you were able to
absolutely
to relax for a little bit and laugh at our antics, if nothing else. At least laughed at Logan. We've got next week. We'll be back on Monday, actually, next week. And we've got Indian Head Cigars, Fabian from Indian Head. It's a newer company. It's actually an older company under new management. And that La Galera Habano, man, legit cigar. So that's going to be a good show. Sean and Matul, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We appreciate it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us at cigarfederation.com. You can find everything about Fable Cigars. It's fablecigars.com, correct?
Correct.
And pretty much at Fable Cigars everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, all that. So you guys can find them there. We really do appreciate it. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you on Monday.
And we're fucking back, bitches.
See, I told you he'd do that.
I didn't get as excited as I normally do, because normally I'll go, woo! Do something like crazy as shit, you know?
I told you, and then he said, well, you made me sound like I'm immature. Well, you kind of did that yourself.
You kind of already do that.
It's pretty fucking hard for me not to fucking curse, but finally
it's fucking impossible.
Okay, so here's the thing. I had a question specifically for Sean. It was sent in via the Fable Cigars text line, and now I need to find it here.
I'm sorry, that text line is fucking awesome.
It worked out pretty well.
I told you, man.
Although I will say, I'll say a couple of things. And as we move forward, it's part of training the audience, right? And it's true.
You got to train your customer.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm not trying to demean the audience in any way. They want to post their questions. They want their questions answered. But
right. When
we switch it on them, kind of midstream, we got to wait for everybody to catch up. But there is one. Where the hell is it? It had something to do, Mike, with your trip to Nicaragua, and maybe you had some issues when you were down there?
This is going to be good.
Oh, here it is. This is why I waited for the After Dark. So, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about it.
I want to be able to tell this story, please.
It says, can someone please ask, this is a question from Mike as well. So, Mike, thank you for the question. can someone please ask Sean about his near-death experience on his trip? I heard he got so sick he almost didn't make it to Nicasueño. So what's I mean, we're laughing about it now, but it sounds like it was pretty serious.
So I think I know which Mike you're talking about.
I'm gonna tell this story, all right? I stood by you the whole way.
Was this
story will come from me, my friend.
Okay, so which orifice was everything coming out of? Was it top or the bottom?
So, embarrassingly enough, this happened in our first meeting with Skip.
Awesome.
He took us to dinner at this place, which, you know, in hindsight, it actually had pretty good food. But what I didn't take into account is the advice that I had before was not to eat anything cold.
Oh, nothing that's not cooked.
Yeah.
Don't eat it.
And what I did was I ate a shrimp cocktail, which was the first part of that journey. And what happens later is that when we walk back to the hotel, you know, I start not feeling so great. And, you know, I think I'm maybe a little tired or whatever it is.
Or
and
drunk.
We get back to our room, or both. And we get back to our room, and that's when it all goes down. That's when I start puking my goddamn brains out. And, you know, I quickly realized that food poisoning is in the mix here, and I'm puking all night, and I miss the after party by the pool, which I completely regret because I fucking love pools, man. And Imantula's out there schmoozing with Skip and everybody else from Mombacho, and I'm missing the whole goddamn fucking thing. You know, I'm in my room puking my guts out, and the next morning I am not feeling any better. And this is when we got to go to Nicasueño, and time is of the essence, and I'm still sick. And we're like, okay, got to go to the hospital. Mm. Now, I'll say a couple things here. First of all, the idea of going to a Nicaragua hospital is not the best idea in my mind.
So let me just add, Sean was like, Matul, I'm done. I want to get on the next plane. And I want to go to New York. And I'm like, motherfucker, there's no way I'm putting you on a plane. Because we came all the way out here, and we're finally at the final stretch to get to Nicasueño and work on our brand. And there's no way I'm letting you do that, because it's just not in the mix. I'm like, we're going to take you to the hospital. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to figure this out, and we'll take it from there. If after we get to the hospital and you're so in such bad, dire condition, then and you really want to go, I'll get on the plane with you and we'll go back. But luckily, Sean was able to man up, get through it, and then at that night, we did the whole, you know, hospital thing. We put him on this and that and blah, blah, blah. Finally, we get back to the hotel that night, and he's feeling better. And I'm like, okay, now we need to get a freaking taxi to go from from Grenada all the way to Esteli. And it's like, I don't know, what time it was, but it was late night, and even the hotel owner was like, I wouldn't trust any taxi cab driver to go take you all the way to Celi. And luckily, the hotel owner, I forgot his name, but he was such a gem of a person. He's like, I'm gonna get in my car, I'm gonna take my wife and my kid and drop you off at Celi, and we're gonna go out there and you know, spend the weekend over in Celi.
Wow.
I ended up paying him to take us and get to Nicaragua. It was worth it.
I was practically crying for an American doctor because I was so nervous. But we go to the hospital, and you know, take from what I say what you will. It's not meant to criticize or anything. It's just an interesting experience. I get to the hospital and I realize how different medical care is in this country. First of all, you get there and it's all segmented, because you don't have a hospital with necessarily fully staffed doctors. So first of all, everything is segmented with pay. You get a room, you pay separate for that. And we get to the room, we get laid down, What next? Okay, well, we got to call a doctor in. What do you mean you got to call a doctor in? Well, it's a private doctor. We got to call him from home. So we get a doctor called in from home. You pay separate for that. You pay him directly. Doctor comes in, gets you the medicine. It's like two IVs, four different shots, and you're sitting there waiting. And you pay the hospital bill separately for the medicine. The pharmacy is in the hospital. You pay the pharmacy separately for that. And you know, it sounds like it's a lot, but the whole bill came out to be $100.
What?
Doctor, room, hospital stay, and tip. When I gave the doctor
a tip.
When I gave the doctor a $10 tip, he thought he hit the lottery.
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to the doctor in India two weeks ago. It was $6.
Speaking about India, Mitul's sitting with me in the hospital, and he says, if this happened in India, you'd be dead.
I don't know, man. The medical care that I got when I had really bad, like, sinus infection, chest cold, I literally went to the doctor. They didn't make me fill out any paperwork because they took pity on the poor American. I saw a doctor within 5 minutes. The doctor said, man, you look rough. Here you go. Made some jokes, spoke perfect English. I walked downstairs in the Apollo Hospital to the pharmacy, which was attached. I handed my prescription over. The ladies had my prescription in under 30 seconds. $6 out the door. It was amazing.
No. I didn't mean to say that I would be dead because of the doctor. I meant to say that he said I would be dead because of the kind of food poisoning I experienced.
Yeah, Logan, you probably got some experience with that. It's funny, listening to that story, if I jumped in the middle, I would be able to tell exactly who this happened to and who was the guy that was just involved. Because said...
It was the white guy.
No, Matul says finally he was able to man up, and we were able to, no, I'm not going to let you go home. You can't go home. You just have your stomach just hurts. I haven't experienced it myself,
so
luckily, but I've heard that that's a hell of an experience. Travelers, whatever you want to call it, food poisoning, I don't want anything to do with it. But I love how the guy who wasn't really involved was like, yeah, finally he manned up and we got some shots and he was okay and, you know, whatever. But that was the funny part of the story.
Wait, but then at the end of this whole saga, right, we get to SLE, we're working on everything, and I finally wake up the next day and I'm like, something's wrong. Something is really wrong and my wallet is missing.
Oh, no.
And all my credit cards, my license, all my money that was in the wallet, everything gone. And the whole 3 days we had, or 4 days, whatever it was with Skip, it was just like, it was hell because I didn't have any of that. I mean, of course, we were working on the brand and, you know, I kind of manned up myself and then I was like, all right, it is what it is. Luckily, I had my passport, but my wallet was nowhere to be found after I paid the hotel guy. And I even called him and I was like, hey, can you get your car and find the wallet if it's maybe dropped there somewhere? And it was nowhere to be found. Gone.
Yeah, it dropped in my pocket.
Well, I'm always one to say I'd give the guy the benefit of the doubt. He was nice enough to drive you out there. So hopefully... Well, whatever. You lost your wallet. That sucks. But
yeah, no. I was hoping that you were going to say
that you woke up in the morning and that your stomach didn't feel well. I was going to say that's kind of poetic justice.
You forget. I'm from India.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're covered. You're good. I'm joking, but I don't want to see that happen to anybody. Either side of that, losing your wallet sucks, and puking your guts out sucks too.
But in a way, we have a good story to tell that this company really, you know, started off with a bang.
Yeah, absolutely right. Started off with a bang. No shit. So lesson learned: when you go to Nicaragua on any kind of trip, you go down to Casa Favilli, or you're going to Nicasueño, or anything like that. Make sure that you don't eat anything that's not cooked and have your Cipro ready to go. And if you're throwing everything up, I don't know if Cipro is going to do you any good.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. But the first time I went down to Nicaragua was on a cigar safari trip with Drew Estate. I've told the story before, but I'd asked a couple people beforehand, and this was my first time going to Nicaragua. I'm not a very experienced international traveler myself, and I was told, just don't eat anything that's not cooked and you'll be okay. And don't drink the water, obviously. So we get, the first place they take us to is this really nice steakhouse to have dinner. And
you were scared of that place?
Just let me finish. The first thing they bring The first thing they bring out, thank you, is a salad. And the salad is stacked up. Logan, you've seen the salad. It's stacked up like this, this big onion and this lettuce. And it shows up to me, and I'm just, and I tried to tell the guy, no, thank you. But he left it there anyway. And everybody's eating their salad. And I'm the asshole who doesn't eat a salad. But if, you know, I'll offend somebody, I'm not taking a chance of getting torn up on, you know, on a salad. And I avoided the salad. I felt like a jerk, but I made it through the trip. I was okay. So, lesson learned.
I don't eat the salad either.
Yeah, stay away from the salad. Logan, we've got some prizes to give away. We've got some winners to pick. A little caveat to that is we're waiting for the cigars to arrive, and it's actually going to be, Matul, we said probably mid to late May.
Late May, yeah. So our product is on its way. It's going to get to us hopefully by the first or second week of May, and by the end of May, we should be able to, you know, give out prizes to everybody. So we'll go ahead and pick out the prizes right now, and then we'll get to them.
Cool. So we'll pick some winners tonight. Logan, I picked a couple of live winners, and then you want to pick some, we'll do some podcast winners. We'll do some AFRM.
How many are we giving away here, homie?
Well, we've got 12 5-packs.
Okay. Let me just
give away. So that's, and that's, yeah, 60 cigars we do every week. So I've picked two listeners based on the two questions, Logan, that you allowed me to ask from the audience today.
Hey, man, I was on fire tonight. Go ahead, Rob.
Jason Myers, always asks good questions, and Jason's a winner. And Garen Fry asked the only other question I was able to ask, and he is a winner as well. So Jason and Garen are winners, and you want to pick, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 random guys, and then we'll pick
some cigars.
I'm sorry?
Don't give Mike any cigars.
I was going to pick Mike because he asked the doo-doo question, and it seemed like it was
the doo-doo question.
It was either the doo-doo question or the vomit question. So maybe the vomit was probably better. It sounded like it was more vomit than number two. But
I didn't even know what you, I wasn't even really paying attention. But yeah, let's just everyone email me Logan@cigarfederation.com. Fable cigars in the subject line, and then just put your name, your address, and then a statement verifying you're above the legal age and your current jurisdiction to purchase tobacco products. Thank you, lawyer. And then I'll pick some people at random. And I swear to God, if anyone emails me before 6 weeks is over asking where their Fable samples are or they're winning, that you're not getting shit.
No, loser. Lahoo.
Loser. Automatic loser.
And let's pick 3 podcast winners as well.
Well, let's pick 3 podcast/AFRN winners.
Perfect.
Too.
Yeah, because we're looking for those podcast votes. I'm going to be honest. There's no shame.
We do need them.
We need those podcast votes. Okay, so we'll do that tonight, and then if we have anything left, we'll do a giveaway on the site, something like we've done in the past. Perfect. I didn't get to ask a lot of audience questions,
ask them, Rob.
Well, no, we covered most of this stuff. And you know what? I will ask. You know what? This is a question from Marty Messina. And maybe we can make Marty a winner because this is a question that has to get asked every week. And this is one thing, guys, as you get more familiar with Cigar Federation, that you will understand is that the community as a whole is crazy for Lanceros.
Oh, yeah.
That's all they want to smoke is Lancero this, Lancero that, Lancero this, the other thing. Marty wants to know, are there any plans for a Lancero in the Fable Cigar 4th Prime line?
No.
Boom, just like that. There it is. One-word answer. Actually, take it back. Marty, you don't win, man. You only got one word.
You don't want anything, dog.
Sorry, but no.
So, why?
They don't sell.
Is that it? Like it's so funny, man. I always talk about, the community that we have on Cigar Federation is kind of like that 1%, if you want to throw that term around, that really does focus on what's new. Like they're the nerdy cigar guys. They want to know everything. They want to smoke the smaller ring gauges, yada yada yada. That you hand them a 7x70 and they tell you to get the fuck out of here. That kind of thing. But it seems like to me those are the kind of people that I'm around all the time. So I think, wow, why don't Lanceros sell? But I guess in general they really just don't.
So I'll just expensive. Yeah, they don't well, and I'll be honest, the way that Skip makes them is
awesome.
Amazing the way that Skip makes his Lanceros. He makes them in a very different way. So there is a lot of process that goes into making Lanceros at Nico Sueño. So one, you know, the reason that we chose not to make Lancero was because of the fact that it doesn't sell. Two was because there is an extra like few steps that go into making a Lancero at Nico Sueño, and we don't have that kind of time. And three, because we have the Mi, which is a five and three quarters by 46 box pressed. So if you look at this cigar, it's a very, very thin cigar compared to any of our other sizes. So this is what we call like a Corona Extra, let's just say. So we chose this to be our smallest, thinnest size. The reason being is because it's a great size. Skip himself finds this to be the best out of the four sizes. He told me straight up he smoked like 200 of these while he's producing them. And that's why we just decided not the Lancero. But we also we wanted to make sure that we had a small enough ring gauge that people can enjoy and have that kind of size.
Now, the smallest ring gauge you guys produce is on your Petite Lancero, or your Petite Lancero, your Petite Robusto, correct?
The smallest ring gauge is, which is a 5 3/4 by 46. It's a 46 ring gauge.
Okay, so you know what? When I'm looking at the reason I said that is I'm looking at my review here, and I put that it was a Petite Robusto at 4.5 by 42, but it must be 52.
No, it's a 52.
That's a typo. We found a typo in my review.
That's what happens when you don't have Seth Geis approving reviews, Rob. That's what happens.
Wow, I'm embarrassed.
That'd be a lesson, homie.
I'm embarrassed. I'm hearing Matul say, "Well, the 46 is our smallest ring gauge," and I'm thinking, "Aha, there's a 42." And look at me now.
I'm embarrassed that I didn't catch it when I read the review.
That happens. It's funny. I thought, oh, well, look at me. I get to point something out. This guy's, no, I'm the dipshit. Right? It's your product. Why would I know you? The hell am I thinking? Logan, if you can go in and fix that, that'd be great. On that note, I told you guys we'd have you here for about 70 minutes, and we've gone over time. I'm scrolling through. We've touched on a bulk of this stuff. There's some stuff about the FDA and things. I don't really want to get into that.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And
it is what it is.
It seems to be going in a better direction anyway. Logan, you have any final questions? You want to attack their business plan anymore, or
how I work, man.
You know, beg for more for your for them to sell the cigar through the store. I mean, that was basically the whole show.
No, man, I wasn't begging. It's kind of like I like to challenge.
I'm just fucking with you.
I like to challenge people, and it's not that I was challenged. I like to hear people's point of views because I mean that's what cigars are all about. Are people that are from different backgrounds and walks of life having conversations and healthy conversations, debates and stuff. And this
I think we just had an earthquake. I just had an earthquake.
Yeah, you probably did. I hope it topples your house, you fucking prick. Like,
no, you
fucking
don't
asshole.
Don't
let me finish.
I'm just cutting you off because you're talking about business plans and blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares.
You guys are friends.
You're a fucking asshole, Rob. You're fucking fire.
You know, it's funny. Logan and I actually do like each other.
I don't fucking agree with that statement at all.
He's bitter now because Logan. Here, I'm gonna let you. You know what? I'm gonna let you guys in on a little secret about Logan.
What's the secret, Rob?
This is the secret. Logan is used to getting his way.
And Logan, why is that?
Logan has a way of things, a way that he wants to do things, and he's used to getting it. And when you challenge it, he gets a little upset.
You usually get fucking stomped.
It's all right. It's all good because we've dealt with someone by the name of Skip.
There you go.
Yeah, that's very true.
And Skip likes to get his way. So we can deal with Logan.
Well, no, really. I'm giving Logan a hard time.
I can think of another name that does that. His name is Matul.
Oh, well, there it is. See, every good relationship has a little bit of this right at the core, right?
That's true.
Exactly. Logan, we give each other shit, and it makes for an entertaining
show. Makes for good shit,
But we always hug afterwards, so we hug it out.
Virtually.
Virtually. It's a good long hug at the beginning or the middle of July, usually, whenever IPC is.
Usually, that's usually true.
It's one of those things. It's like a scene from like, some romantic. No, no nuts involved.
No nuts, man. Maybe an ass grab or two.
It's like a scene at the end of like a romantic comedy where we see each other from across the lobby at the airport, and we run, and there's this big clash in the middle, and we just grasp onto each other, and the sun sets in the background.
It's that kind of like that in Vegas, though. I mean, it's similar.
Yeah, although you will say the first time that we met in person, you weren't sure if you should hug me or punch me.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, man. I might hate you. I don't really know.
Yeah, no, we've been doing this for
5 years.
About damn near 5 years now, and we've met in person 4 times.
No, it's been more than that.
5, 6, maybe. Oh, with a couple of trips in there. Yeah,
I mean, I saw you randomly at the airport in Dallas one time.
And that was weird. You met my wife. Yeah.
I know. And she's awesome. And the reason she married you, I have no fun.
Yeah, no, I married up, bro. I'm not going to lie. I've got her fooled. Don't. Shh, shh,
I try to, every time on Instagram she posts something, I always try to bring you down a notch. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I do, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
We'll end the therapy session, and we'll wrap it up. Sean, Matul, is a lot of fun hanging out with you guys. Matul, next time we have you on, man, I need to get you hardwired to the internet, bro, because that was...
Yes, sir. Your internet was fucking rough out there.
It was a little bit rough.
I'm sorry. I'm at my shop, so it's like really tough.
No, it wasn't that bad. We're just giving you a hard time.
That's but I just want to say before we go, how good of an experience can you provide customers when you can't give them good internet to set in your shop and access the internet?
I think we need to have a fucking meeting about Logan.
well, Logan, if they don't have internet access, how can they look up reviews on Half Wheel?
No shit, bro. I'm telling you.
I mean, God forbid they look at the Cigar Federation app and look at the reviews there, but you know what I'm saying.
I mean, I don't even know what that thing is.
I'm just kidding. We are websites that provide two very different things. They're more of like a CNN, and I think we're a little bit more of like a top 40 radio station.
Like Weird Al Yankovic. That's kind of us.
I'm not going to go that far, but, you know, whatever.
Okay, anyways, who gives a
fuck? We provide some entertainment. They're a little bit more dry than we are, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
But good people all around. Anyway, guys, thanks for hanging out. Really do appreciate it. Everybody, thanks for tuning in and hanging out with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, hey, absolutely. Brother. It was a lot of fun. I'll look you guys up when I'm in New York because it's a small town. We'll just meet at the town square and see what happens. We've got, like I said, Indian Head Cigars coming on next week. And again, don't forget to nominate us on the, what is it again, Logan?
I got it right here.
The podcast
awards. .com.
And the category is games and hobbies.
You got it.
Perfect. So look for CigarFederation.com. Again, thanks so much. We'll catch you guys next Monday. And then the following week, Logan, you might be solo because I'm going to be on the road.
I know. I'll be on the road too, but
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Make it back.
All right, guys. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
Thank you, guys.
Peace, bitches.